everyone. Welcome back to Mercy Talk. This is Jen Otero.
And this is Melanie Wise. And we are so excited to have you with us today. We are actually embarking on a new series.
Yes, we are.
For the month of March, we are going to be focusing on the issue of self-harm. Last month in February, we focused on eating disorders. And for 4 weeks in a row, we talked about what eating disorders are, signs and symptoms. We talked about how to help someone who's struggling with that. We had a guest on, and we're going to kind of do all of that again for the issue of self-harm. And I think that I'm really looking forward to this series because I think that the issue of self-harm is one that is very easily misunderstood by a lot of people. So I'm really looking forward specifically to today, because today we're going to be talking about the facts and the signs and the symptoms of self-harm and what it is, and specifically also what it is not, because I think there are really a lot of misconceptions on really what it even is in the first place. And next week, we're going to also be talking some about just how to overcome if that's something that you personally are struggling with. And then over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about ministering to others. We'll share some cool testimonies. We're going to have a guest on in a couple of weeks as well. And so we're just really looking forward to this series. Mm-hmm. And today, like I said, we're going to be talking a lot about just kind of the facts about self-harm. And I already talked to Jen before the show. I was like, you know what? You are the one who has tons and tons of experience of working with girls who've struggled with this. And so there's no one better to really kind of talk about just the facts of the issue than you. Mm-hmm. And so really, I'm going to be handing off the show a lot to Jen today. But, you know, to get us started, I did just kind of want to set the baseline. You know, we do these empower trainings with a lot of people, and we talk through issues and we try to describe to them kind of what the issues are and what they're not, and all of the things that we're going to be talking about in this series. And so I just want to start off by giving just the definition that we give to those people in our workshops. And we tell them that self-harm is the direct and deliberate attempt to harm one's body in an attempt to alter a mood state, comfort oneself, or release emotion and or gain control. And so that's just the baseline definition that we give. But Jen, I'm just going to kind of pass it off and let you go from there. Just sharing a little bit more about what it is, what it's not, and then.
Yeah. And I love being able to hit on this topic, Mel, because I think just in culture, self-harm itself, as you've already said, I think in a lot of ways is misunderstood. But what I love about our podcast is being able to teach it, but also doing it in such a way that there's such hope connected to it. Because I think, you know, anytime you run across someone who's either struggling with self-harm, or if that's someone that you personally are someone, it can be such a dark and difficult place, but to continue to remember that there's nothing too hard for God. So even as we hit on the facts and the things today, it can always be, I find that even during our Empower trainings, this is sometimes the deepest, hardest, kind of heaviest place, just because there's that place of understanding it well, but always couching it in the fact that it's not too hard for God. And that I have seen over the last, I guess I've been counseling in different capacities for about 15 years now, which makes me laugh, but I have watched God heal women of this time after time after time. And so it's not too hard, and it is something that people can overcome. And so as we dive into it, I always like to hit on the fact that I have seen self-harm really, really shift, I would say, over the last 10 years or so. I feel like when I first started counseling in this area, self-harm was really connected, it felt like, at the time, to a lot of trauma victims, where it was very, very connected to deep level trauma. But what I have found, I would say, over the last 5-10 years, is I'm seeing a lot more young ladies coming to me that have started stepping into self-harm more out of a curiosity, more out of a peer culture kind of a thing, that it's not necessarily connected to addressing or coping through trauma. It's actually something that's more in the culture. It's something the girls are talking about in middle school. And, you know, my friend is doing this, so I'm going to start stepping into this out of curiosity. And so it's positioned this whole new level, I feel like, of folks that are struggling with self-harm, not in the same way that trauma victims do, which I'm grateful for, because it's a lot easier to overcome if it's not something you've been struggling with for as long and it's not rooted as deeply. But I think it's something that we, especially, you know, as we do our Empower trainings and we're talking with youth pastors and different folks, it's just something to be aware of and understand that it's not what it used to be. Yes, it still plays out in that way, but I'm seeing a lot more just with young girls who get into it because they're curious and suddenly find themselves in bondage to something that they're not sure really how to overcome. And so let's hit on just a couple things about what self-harm is, what it isn't. It's really just important, too, to know that there are different forms of self-harm. Usually what we understand self-harm to be is through cutting. We often hear about girls cutting themselves, young men cutting themselves, but it also can come in different forms such as scratching, pulling out hair, burning, carving in oneself. And I often see even with young men, it can also include punching oneself, banging your head against the wall. Some things that are more anger related that people think, well, that was just an angry outburst. It can actually be a form of self-harm that we don't necessarily identify as such. And so that's really important to understand. Another piece we really like to hit on is what self-harm is not. Because often when you're addressing and working with someone who's struggling with harming themselves, I know a lot of times when I first started counseling, I'd have parents go, oh my gosh, they must be suicidal. Well, not necessarily. Now, you can struggle with self-harm and be suicidal at the same time, but self-harm does not automatically mean that you want to kill yourself. And I think sometimes when people first come across the issues that come with self-harm, they think, oh my gosh, this must automatically mean that there's, you know, a suicidal plan here. No, not necessarily. Most of the time, that's actually not the case. Self-harm serves a completely different purpose than suicide does. And so we always like to really hit on the fact that you can have both at the same time, but that self-harm is not a means of self, of suicide. There's a couple reasons that people typically harm themselves. And that is one big thing that I love about Mercy is that the reason that we're able to help the girls in our program overcome to the degree that they do is because we're really good at getting at the root. And I know there's lots of podcasts we've done on getting to the root of the issue, but understanding that self-harm has a lot of specific reasons of why it can happen. So let me hit on a couple of those. First and foremost, it can be a means of control. So if I have lived my life, I'm in an abusive environment, or I've really struggled with different areas of my life that I didn't have a form of control, self-harm can tend to be one of those ways. We've even talked recently about eating disorders. If I can control my food because my environment does not feel very controlled, then this is another form that sometimes folks can pick up in order to feel like they have some sense of control in their lives. So nobody can cause me to not harm myself. So it gives me some semblance of control in my life. Another thing that we often see with young ladies that we work with in the program is it's actually can self-harm can also be a form of self-punishment. So if I have ate too much calories, or I didn't take care of this situation the way that I wanted to, or I didn't do as well on this test as I expected myself to, I can actually punish myself for not doing as well as I expected myself to, whether it's in an unhealthy area or if it's really a striving perfectionism area. This is a means of punishing myself because I didn't do as well as I wanted to. Also, as I mentioned earlier, it can be a release of anger and other emotions. You know, we learn how to cope with things as we grow. And if we're not taught how to identify emotions and we're not taught healthy ways of coping, we're going to figure out how to cope with emotions one way or the other. I would often tell girls when I was counseling them, your emotions are going to come out one way or the other. Yeah. Even if it's out the side of your head, it's going to come out. And so often self-harm is just a means of, you know, addressing those emotions and releasing them one way or another. Now, we often teach as well that self-harm can become addictive. And I think that some people don't, if you've not struggled with self-harm or really worked with someone who has, that can sound a little crazy because we think of addictive behaviors such as, you know, shopping or even or a couple months ago, we talked through just addiction, you know, different areas that we can get addicted to. Self-harm is one of those areas. And what we have found is it's actually because of the release of emotion and endorphins that happens, it actually becomes a physiological addiction because as I'm hurting myself or harming myself, my adrenaline pumps. And so that emotion, that high that actually can come after harming myself can actually become an addictive thing where it doesn't just release an emotion, but it actually creates good feelings for a short period of time that can actually become addictive for people. And so it's just understanding that that's some of the physiological stuff that goes on with these folks that are struggling.
And Jen, I know that one of the things that in our workshops that you've been very specific to point out is that self-harm can, like, as you said, become addictive, but it can also really just spiral out of control pretty quickly. Yeah. And so as you were mentioning, you know, it's becoming almost for some people just kind of like a fad, even for like the younger, for a lot of teens these days. Yeah. And so Would you say, and I'm just going to put you on the spot with questions here.
Please do.
Would you say that for those people who are just kind of doing it out of the curiosity factor, for those, can it also spiral out of control and become an addiction without them having maybe some of those root causes of, you know, trauma and things that you mentioned before?
Absolutely. And I think I've seen that. I would say even the last couple of years, I have a couple of girls coming to mind that really genuinely just started it out of curiosity. And then they ended up coming in to see me 3 or 4 months later because their parents realized, my gosh, this is something that they're doing. And they didn't know why. They had a hard time getting to the root or figuring out why they kept being pulled back to it. And that was a large part of it, is that it was the physiological response that they actually started to like the high of it. They didn't have a lot of trauma or issue in their lives that they had to kind of get to that same root. For them, it was really learning, oh my gosh, there's different ways for me to cope when I'm feeling stressed. Or, you know, there's different things that I need to learn or put in place of this. But you're right, it wasn't like this high level trauma thing. It was something they launched into out of curiosity, and it started to create an addiction for them. So absolutely.
Which I think speaks to, and I know we're going to get into this more in the coming weeks, but just the importance of, you know, when you see that, to not think, oh, well, maybe they'll stop. Like if you've noticed that in a loved one, or you know someone struggling with it, to not just like put it off and hope that maybe eventually they'll stop, but like it's something to address immediately because of how quickly it can turn into an addiction and just and really spiral out of control.
And I always, always love it when those youth pastors or those parents call right away and they're like, yeah, this has only been going on for 2 months, but we're nailing it because it really needs to be addressed. And they don't minimize it or make it something smaller than it should be, which is so good. And I would say the last thing that we need to keep in mind, and this is one that sometimes folks don't fully understand, one of the reasons that sometimes self-harm can happen, especially for folks that are dealing with high-level trauma, is that it actually allows them to check in to go, am I still really alive? If I actually harm myself and I see a response physically to that harming, it actually proves to me that I'm alive. And I don't know if many of our listeners have been in that place emotionally where you almost feel so emotionally dead, you're not even fully sure that you're there and living. And so that, of course, is going to be for folks that are dealing with much more trauma.
Sure.
But it can actually be a way of just really checking in and going, okay, I feel real, I feel alive, that I'm still kicking here. And so that's kind of a overall reasons that self-harm can play out. Sometimes it's more than one, sometimes it's one. And like I've said, we've seen it shift so much over the last 10 years or so. So it's just important to kind of know what some of those pieces are.
Jen, one of the questions that I feel like we've gotten a lot has been whether or not people who self-harm are there some people who do this just for the sake of getting attention? What would you say to someone who's doubting that it's really a struggle, they're just trying to get attention? You know what I mean?
I think we always have to recognize there can be 1 or 2% of folks that are doing things for attention. But what I have found over years and years and years of dealing with girls that genuinely struggle with self-harm is this is a very secret thing. This is something that's very shameful to them. It's not something they're going to be doing for you to see it. In fact, even as we talk through different ways to keep an eye out for this, you're going to see girls that are covering their arms and their legs, even in the summertime, that there's different ways to keep an eye out for different things. If they're struggling with self-harm, this is not going to be something a girl does and goes and shows it. Now, don't get me wrong, there are those cases that can come up. But when you have someone who's genuinely struggling with a deep issue with self-harm, it's not going to be something that they are broadcasting. In fact, they're going to get really, really good at harming themselves in areas that you're not going to easily see, whether that's on their torso or on their legs, that it's easier for those places to be covered because it's not something they want people to know. It's a form of coping.
So in that rare circumstance where there is somebody broadcasting it, sharing about it, showing people, there's a chance it could be attention seeking, but there's another chance it could just be a cry for help.
Exactly.
Like, I'm ready. I need help.
And I'm starting to get so freaked out about the fact that this is a part of my life and I'm not sure how to manage it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's good.
So earlier, Mal, I mentioned, you know, sometimes girls who struggle with self-harm will wear long sleeves or pants in the summer. But I think it's important, even as we get ready to wrap up here in a minute, to kind of hit on the other signs, things to kind of keep an eye out for, especially if you're someone that may be curious as to whether someone you love may be struggling with this, or just to kind of keep an eye out. Now, we understand that just because someone wears long sleeves and pants in the winter or in the summer does not mean that they're struggling with self-harm. But you get enough of these on the list, you can really start to wonder if something's up. So another thing, there's another sign to keep an eye out for is unexplained wounds. So areas on their arms, on their body that just really don't have an explanation that continue to come up and come up time after time after time. Unaccounted for accidental burns, cuts, that kind of thing. Often we're going to see isolation, inability to express emotions. Like we said, this is a form of dealing with emotion because I haven't learned how in a healthy way. And so if you see someone who's really isolating and doesn't know how to express their emotions on top of a lot of these other things, that could be a sign as well. Often we find that self-harm is coupled with a variety of other life-controlling issues. So I've seen a lot of times that I'll have girls that come in that struggle with an eating disorder, but also struggle with self-harm, or they struggle with another area of addiction, drugs and alcohol, and they're also self-harming themselves. And so you will see this coupled up with other issues just because these girls are just scrambling for a way to cope. And so when an eating disorder kind of hits its end, maybe I'll pick up something else to continue to learn how to cope. And also I would say, we're also going to see lots of anger, depression, anxiety, a lot of just that emotional yuck that goes along with these things that these girls and guys are really going, okay, I've got to learn how to cope with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so often that's when self-harm can come in.
Yeah. Well, Jen, I know that it's kind of hard for us, especially on these shows where we're talking about all the facts and signs and symptoms and all of that, to just, it feels really heavy.
Yes.
It's pretty intense. And it's hard for us to say, well, that's the show today, everyone. Have a great day, you know? And so we need to always make sure that we go back to remembering that these are facts and there are stats and it's overwhelming. And if you're struggling with it, it can feel overwhelming. If you know someone who's struggling with it, it's like, what in the world? How is this person ever going to be free of this? The awesome thing about what you and I have been able to see since being here at Mercy is that time and time and time and time and time again, we have watched the Lord just do the impossible and do what seems impossible to man. And so one of the things that I think is so important is that if you've listened to today's podcast, if you are struggling with self-harm, if you know someone who is struggling, please listen into the rest of the podcast.
Yes, please.
We are going to talk a lot about just how to minister to people, how to help and encourage people who may be struggling. I'll go ahead and say it right now because I think it's important that if this is the only show you hear, make sure that you know that if you know someone who is struggling with self-harm habitually or has an addiction, that they need to be referred to a qualified professional. Don't try to help them and manage that on your own. We'll unpack that more later. But if you don't hear any of the other shows, I want to make sure that no one leaves today thinking like, okay, well, I'm going to go save the world now and everybody who's struggling with this. But I do just want to make sure that we remind people every time we have one of these shows that truly freedom and complete freedom is possible. And we have actually seen it happen. It's not just a good idea, not something that we hope for. We've actually seen it. We've seen it happen in hundreds of girls' lives. And so I just want to make sure that you do tune in the coming weeks. I also just want to encourage you to check out our website at mercymultiplied.com. You can actually download our issue-related books for free. And we have a couple of books relating to self-harm. So I just want to encourage you, you know, in these podcasts, we can only talk for so long, but that book really unpacks some of the things that we've covered today and that we'll be covering in the coming weeks. And so I really encourage you to get online and to download those books. And again, please make sure that you join us in the coming weeks. We've got some great things to share and to bring some hope back into this issue because it really can be overwhelming. So I just want to encourage you to get online, to download those books, just because they're going to unpack more what we're covering in these coming weeks. So again, make sure that you join us. Next week, we will be talking about how to overcome if this is an issue that you struggle with in your own life. And thank you so much for joining us today.